J Files on Double J.
We care tremendously about what we do and how we do it and what we put out, but as far as what people's expectations are, there's just nothing we can do there.
Gritty, angular, art, punk. This band reshaped the landscape of indie and punk rock. With the solid backbone of Brian Chase, the minimalist genius of Nick Zinner, and the vocal prowling of Karen O. Yeahs rose out of Brooklyn's art scene and went on to become one of New York's finest. Hey, Gab Burks here, J Files producer at Double J, and this is the Yeahs J Files podcast. About that time they were pelted with objects when they played a festival here.
It was semi-apocalyptic, I think, at the time.
When they wrote an opera, and Australia was one of the only places in the world to ever see it.
It was a really strange way that it was written. It was just totally as a fluke, almost.
And the musicians Karen O channels with her exceptional stage outfits. But let's jump back to 2006. Nick Zinner chatted to Robbie Buck on Triple J about the band's beloved New York City.
So how does the band go down in New York these days? I know that, you know, in the early stages of the band, it was always the UK that was putting you up there on the pedestal. Has New York opened its arms to you guys?
Yeah, they definitely have. They've definitely, like, given us the firm embrace. When we were relatively unknown, New York really loved us, and then as soon as we started getting any kind of, like, notoriety or attention outside, the super hipsters who were, you know, who then snub us. We played like two sold out shows in this like crazy huge place in New York, I guess like a month and a half ago, and it was great. It just felt so good. I had like little experiences in New York City where like people from like quote unquote all walks of life have like come up to me and just like, you know, given me mad props or whatever. And it's nice, like sometimes I kind of feel like the city has my back.
Still to come, that time they had all kinds of paraphernalia lobbed at them when they played a huge festival spot here one year. But while the UK and Europe were some of the first places in the world to really embrace the band, Yeahs have always had a bit of a soft spot for Australia, even debuting new music here at the Big Day Out back in 2013. But first, how good are the outfits Karen O wears on stage? I got a day with them. Be surprised by who she's channeling with these outfits. She spoke to the doctor about it.
Karen O is backstage here, going on stage in about an hour's time. Speaking of shows, I saw you at the very, very warm Big Day Out
that was hot.
And in that costume that you were wearing, the yellow, it's almost like a Elvis jumpsuit.
It is. That was sort of, that was a bit of the direction we were going in with that. Elvis meets, like, Bootsy Collins meets, what's that dude that used to play Vegas a lot? He played the piano. He was, like, very camp.
Um, Liberace?
Liberace, exactly.
That's great. Wow.
It's a good combo. You know.
Have you played a bass Bootsy Collins style whilst wearing it yet to see if it works?
Not yet, but that's a good, maybe I'll give that a shot.
How many did you bring? I saw a red one at the Gold Coast Big Day Out as well.
There's variations on that yellow one, and there's a red one, and there's going to be a completely different one tonight. So.
Exciting.
Yeah.
We should talk about music, though. You played, you opened with a brand new song.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How exciting is that? Just back in Australia, here's a new song, first cab off the rank.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we've had these songs ready for a while, and I thought, like, you know, debuting some of them here would be, you know, excellent.
It was Mosquito, which is the name of the album.
Yes, yes.
Is it about actual mosquitoes?
It is, yeah, the song's about mosquitoes.
I was listening to the lyrics, trying to work out the levels.
It's totally about mosquitoes. We did a lot of recording in El Paso again, where we did a lot of our last record, and then we did a session in New York as well.
Yeah, right. How was it? I did hear that there was, like, you guys were in a weird space and we're, like, kind of down and stuff.
Yeah, I think we were going through a lot of a sort of post-tour depression, sort of end-of-decade depression, you know, after It Splits. And it was like our prescription for happiness, you know, kind of the songs that we were writing just to kind of lift us up. So it's like, it's all good vibes on the record, you know.
What was like the first thing that you would do songwriting wise or production wise that you knew would make you feel better in the studio?
Just get a drum machine going and get like tons of reverb on the vocals and, you know, Nick, you know, playing crappy amps or whatever. Sort of like back to our roots, kind of how we started in a way.
Before they were here for the Big Day Out in 2013, they came out to Australia to play Vivid Festival. But it wasn't the Yeah Yeah Yeahs as you know them.
Have you seen her when she lied? Should have believed her. Waiting to meet myself inside, she's some kind of teacher.
Karen O and Nick Zinner from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs are in the studio in the country with a whole bunch of friends, including Brian from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, to stage Stop the Virgins, a psycho opera at the Opera House. Why did you choose to call it a psycho opera?
Well, we were trying to veer it away from rock opera, you know?
Rock of Ages. You didn't want to get lumped in with exactly. Either Rock of Ages or anything that Ben Elton and Andrew Lloyd Webber
have
done. Yeah,
it's a far cry from when Bowie was doing Ziggy. So we're trying to veer it away from that. But it is a bit psycho, and it's definitely psychedelic. So we just try to, you know, coin the word psycho opera. That's what we went for.
Do your devotion makes me want to die.
How do you go about writing something in the format of an opera?
The way that it was written was, you know, the opera sort of came afterwards, you know. It was a really strange way that it was written. It was just totally as a fluke almost. I just got together with Sam Spiegel, who was just a friend of mine at the time with the studio, and we just invited some friends and we just started writing music, and then it just started gushing out. It really just kind of felt like it was happening, you know, conduit style, you know, coming from somewhere, you know, but I don't know where. And like about, you know, 2 weeks later, we had the majority of it. Like all the songs felt like part of a bigger story. It was just on a scale and scope of, you know, that was much larger and much sort of grander than anything I'd done up to that point. So, yeah.
And so you just decided to turn it into a staged opera.
Yeah.
And that's when you, I guess, Nick, got involved as well.
Well, I was involved in the recording and writing sessions when we did it, like, mm-hmm. 8 years ago.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's just been germinating since then.
You said of it that writing it or performing it or something is euphoric and free of suffering and pain.
Yeah.
But you said unlike the other stuff that you'd written. So does that mean that all the Yeah Yeah Yeahs music is full of suffering and pain?
There's a lot of suffering and pain in the process of writing Yeah Yeahs. There's also other stuff, mm-hmm. too, that's more fun. But, yeah, it was completely different, I guess, like from, I guess there just wasn't any expectation because we were just kind of doing it for the fun of it, I guess, without really knowing what it was. And yeah, being in a band, you know, could be a painful experience at times. So.
Wait,
did they write an opera, the band have done a bunch of other sweet side projects as well. Nick Zinner has another band called Challenge of the Future, which was actually his old college band. He also formed Headwound City in 2005, with members from The Locust and Blood Brothers. Plus, he's collaborated with the likes of TV on the Radio, The Horrors, and Santa Gold. Brian Chase has performed in a bunch of experimental music duos. Day go by. And Karen O, well, day Karen O. Break, can't wait for the night to fall. Can't sleep, I'm wasted, wasted. She's released a solo album called Crush Songs. Penned music for video games and a bunch of music for films as well. They're a pretty talented bunch, all right. So why would anyone want to throw stuff at them when they're on stage? Well, it turns out it was out of sheer excitement and joy. They spoke to Triple J's Tom and Alex back in 2010.
Tom and Alex here. We are hanging out with the Yeah Yeahs backstage at their sound check. They've been in the country for a little while, festivaling it up, headline showing it up. And we've got Karen, Nick and Brian here. How's it going, guys?
Going good, thank you.
Going great.
It's going well.
Glad we got that. Now,
that's three from three.
Not bad. And how are you finding people reacting to the new stuff, for the new album from It Splits?
You know, it's really, it's strange for us, but the, you know, the songs that we always thought were the crowd favorites, like from our first record, don't get nearly as much of a favorable and crazy reaction as the new stuff. Like,
really?
People love songs from It Splits. It feels really good. Sometimes we'll, you know, play a song like Y Control from our first record, which, you know, we always thought and people loved. Seems like a deep cut.
Yeah, it's a deep cut now.
Lost classic.
Yeah, so things are shifting a bit. But no, it's great.
It's awesome.
Good reaction to the new stuff. It's good stuff. Yeah.
Do you think part of that is like a whole new brand of fan coming to the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, like who've discovered you just thanks to It Splits and are getting on board that way? So you've got a whole new crew out there?
Yeah, well, it seems like a lot of the kids who are out there now are probably about 12 or 11 when Fever to Till came out. So I imagine, you know, we have some new fans from the new record.
You guys were here over New Year's, and you played the New Year's slot in Marion Bay, in Tasmania. Yeah, right. And how did you find that bringing in 2010 in Australia? Was that enjoyable?
It was enjoyable. It was many things, though. It was semi apocalyptic, I think, at the time, because the weather was just lightning and humidity, and someone said that it felt like we were going in like an apocalypse now. Scene where they're kind of the three Playboy bunnies are, you know, helicoptered into the into like among the GIs and Nam, and it's just total kind of riotous madness, flip flops and glow sticks. Like just hitting my head, like about like
pelting the stage,
pelting me for like almost the whole show.
Why do they do that? Why do people who like your music throw shit at you when you're on stage?
No, it's one of the great mysteries of rock and roll.
Do you get much, Brian? You're at the back on the drums.
No, I did get one. One landed, one hit me and landed on my drums, and then I started to use it as a drumstick.
Awesome.
That's all I could do.
And you can throw back. You can throw sticks back in their faces. Could.
No, but I just take it. You know, the crowd's just like overexcited. They just don't know how to contain. They can't contain themselves, and they're just like, Gold line's gonna tell me.
All right, that's it from me. Anna Horan has written a great article about Yeah Yeah Yeahs, which you can find at doublej.net.au. And what's on the J-Files next week? I'm Gab Burke. Catch you later. The J-Files.